Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to you as we come into the Lord's house. Happy 4th of July, or should I say happy Independence Day more formally, as we celebrate our nation's founding and our freedoms. Please take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of each row closest to the center aisle, and then pass it along to your neighbor seated next to you. Please take a look at the bulletin announcement page. There are several upcoming committee meetings, board meeting and VBS events coming up. Also, please notice the flyer about the Jamaica Medical and Dental Mission led by our own Dr. Bob, or Pastor Bob McGee, who was with us on an interim basis prior to the arrival of Pastor Dennis. I know that several of our church family members accompanied Pastor Bob on previous mission trips, so please consider how you might support this very important mission work. And now may we begin our worship service with our call to worship. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Freedom is what we have. Stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves of sin again. The Spirit has given us life. Let us sing our opening hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, hymn number 192. We'll sing all stanzas.
Make reply, the people of the Hebrews, with psalms before you went, our praise and prayer and anthems before you we present. To you before your passion, they sang their hymns of praise. To you now high exalted, our melody we raise. As you received their praises, now hear us as we pray. Since you delight in goodness, rule in our hearts today.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. Loving God, as we gather here in your house on this day, our country's Independence Day, we reflect upon our freedoms. We are free to express ourselves with our freedom of speech. And we are free to worship in this place with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. We are free to live our lives in a society that values our individual contributions and that also recognizes our need to care for those who struggle with health or means of support. We are thankful for both the ability to provide food and shelter for ourselves and our families, and we are especially thankful for the privilege to share our good fortune with others who are just as deserving of your unconditional love. O God, we welcome now the presence of the Holy Spirit the counselor and guide, who reminds us of Jesus' teachings. May we feel his loving presence as we begin our worship service together. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. We would like to invite our children to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, kiddos. It's been a while since I've been up here with you, hasn't it? Like over a year, I think. So today is the 4th of July. Who here is going to be setting off fireworks or seeing fireworks later today? Show of hands from the audience. Who here is going to be... Who here is going to be doing a barbecue today or eating barbecue today? Yeah? All right. Who's going to be seeing a baseball game today? In person or on TV? Okay. I understand some of you got to go to the ball game Friday. I saw you on Facebook, and I was so jealous. That was a good game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, so is Independence Day really about all those things? Is it really just about fireworks and barbecue and all that kind of good stuff? No, it's more than that, isn't it? So Independence Day, the real meaning is it's when they signed the Declaration of Independence. Happened in this little city of Philadelphia, about 1,200 miles away. It's an 18-hour drive. It's a long drive, isn't it? 4 hours to fly there, at least. That is, if you can find a direct flight. And to walk there, I calculated it. It would take, well, too many days to count. It would take a long time, wouldn't it? All right. So, the Declaration of Independence says a few things. It says that we are all created equal by God, right? We're all created equal by God. We all have the right to be free, right? Do you have a question, Brooks?
Yes. It started like it was on April 19th, which is my birthday. It started on April 19th.
April 19th. Wow. Okay. I think next time, Brooks, we'll be doing our children's sermon. Good job, buddy. Good job. So, we all have the right to be free. We all have the right for the pursuit of happiness. In other words, we have the right to look for happiness. And by the way, a lot of the folks that helped write the Declaration of Independence also believed in God, and they had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviors. So, because of that, we know that the United States of America was created for all the right reasons, right? Can we get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, maybe bow in a word of prayer. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for the fortunes of our country. Thank you for our privileges, for the right to be free and to always seek happiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Before we lift up those we're lifting up in prayer, a big welcome to Warren Roberts. Warren, it's great to have you here from Hawaii. Bless you. Good to see you. So glad you're with us. And Greg, it's so great to see you from Colorado, Doug and Gail's son. So wonderful to have you here with us, too. Bless you. Glad you all are here. In our prayers as we make our way through the week, certainly we're mindful of the many affected by the apartment tower collapse in Surfside, Florida, as we certainly keep all of those families in prayer. But also our sympathies extended to Lenora with the loss of Shelley, 36-year-old sister of Lenora's daughter-in-law, Ashley. So Lenora, we're certainly keeping all of you in prayer at the present time. And certainly our prayers are being extended to Dave and Ardith Haynes. Dave and Ardith both received the vaccinations for the coronavirus early on, because Dave was able to do that through the VA. But both of them have gotten the coronavirus. Ardith is now home after being hospitalized, and Dave continues to be at the hospital in Liberty. In intensive care. So please be mindful of Ardith and Dave Haynes and keep them in your prayers. We also are mindful of Wilma Andres. She is the mother of Kathy Gorman. Kathy, we're certainly keeping her in prayer. There she is. They're back in the back. Keeping Wilma in our prayers with the stroke that she experienced and encouraged by the fact that your other family members are seeing some improvement, so we're certainly grateful for that. We're lifting up continually Edna Williams' cousin, Anna Hext. We also want to be mindful of Rihanna Ralston, Ruth Ann. We're certainly keeping her in prayer. She was hospitalized at the St. Luke's in Iola this past week, is now home, but again, now some heart concerns seem to be the prevalent matter at the present time. Cindy Sexton's stepmother, Carolyn Comfort, is completed with the treatment, so that certainly is very good news. And we also do want to keep Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat Reese, in prayer. She is going to be going to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, later this month, having a growth below the bottom lobe of her brain will be removed, as that's creating some concerns. And we also want to be mindful that we understand Roxy Weaver's co-worker's, wife of a co-worker, Leanne Branson, is now getting out of rehab. So we're grateful for that, Roxanne, are we not? We're grateful that making better progress. So certainly there are other people that we've been remembering, but those are certainly our highlights for the day as we lift up our hearts and bow our heads before the Lord in prayer. We rejoice in the privilege to offer you worship and praise this Lord's Day morning, O God, especially on the Sunday we call Independence Day, Sunday. We express our gratitude for the remarkable freedoms bestowed upon us, first as citizens of heaven, and secondly as citizens of this nation. We offer thanksgiving, O God, for our freedom as citizens of heaven, realizing that it is through the sacrifice of Christ our Lord that, as we seek forgiveness of our sin and humbly accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are freed from the burden of sin and death. We are given the privilege to serve others in the name of Christ our Lord. We offer thanksgiving, O God, for our freedom as citizens of these United States. As our founding fathers realized that the success of our nation relied upon a responsible citizenship, We acknowledge that many of our founders knew that a sound moral and spiritual education was necessary for us to know how to behave appropriately and respectfully toward one another. It is the freedom from sin, anarchy, and even death itself that we celebrate in your house of worship this morning, Heavenly Father. And as we step forward with the task you give us, inspire and encourage us to make each day, each hour count for the benefit of others and for your glory. For the freedom to serve, we give you thanks as we recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us pledge allegiance to a land that's free.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we lift our voices in this solemn prayer.
God bless America, land that I love.
Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.
From the mountains to the prairies,
to the oceans
white with foam,
God bless America, my home sweet home.
God bless America, beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with
This 4th of July, we celebrate our country's liberation from tyranny that was such a prevalent burden for the early colonists when so many goods were heavily taxed, where you had to get permission from the King of England for manufacturing, and where even the best trees of the land were considered property of the crown. Yet as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, we realize that the greatest tyranny that burdens society is still the sinfulness that lurks in the hearts of humanity and is often revealed through the acts of brutality, violence, and terrorism. Yet as we partake in the elements symbolic of Christ's sacrifice, we remember that our spirits, our very souls, are granted freedom from the burden of evil and sin. For Jesus said in John chapter 8, "If you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, then you will be really free." Our communion hymn number 195, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," will sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4, please.
I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ken leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, as we partake of the blood and body of Christ, we are so thankful we have all the freedoms to worship you in our house each Sunday as we go throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. 1998, citizens of our country spent about $425 million on 4th of July fireworks. By 2015, that amount had increased to about $775 million. Today, that amount now reaches $1 billion. That's about $3.01 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. Although it's fun to see things sparkle and hear big booms, it's rather sobering to think that after just a few moments, that's $1 billion that has literally gone up in smoke. Yet when we give our resources to the Church of Jesus Christ, the benefit of our resources has eternal implications. For as Jesus speaks of his flock, he says, "I give them eternal life." May we give generously as Kimberly offers us a word of prayer, and we receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Dear God, we are grateful for your presence here at this table. We are thankful that we have earthly things that make our lives more comfortable. Help us to remember that these things, the things of this earth, will have no purpose in heaven. While we are here, remind us to be loving and giving, remembering those that are less fortunate. We ask that you bless these gifts, tithes, and offerings so that they will be used to further your kingdom here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. For this morning's scripture reading, I share with you a couple of texts from the Psalms. First of all, Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Make them known to me. Teach me to live according to your truth, for you are my God who saves me. I always trust in you. And then Psalm 119, and it's actually verses 105 and 106, not 107. Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. I will keep my solemn promise to obey your just instructions. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we're privileged to once again be in your house, to experience fellowship with one another, and truly to be mindful that as we learn your ways, we really are free. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen. Fundamental among the liberties we enjoy as citizens of the United States certainly is our privilege to worship God as biblical teachings and as our consciousness
freely guides us without fear of any reprisal from outside influences or forces. And today is not only the Lord's Day, the first day of the week in which we celebrate Christ's resurrection and freely worship God. We know that this Lord's Day just happens to also be the 4th of July, and it is the 245th anniversary of our countrymen's Declaration of Independence from British rule, as it was adopted by the Second Continental Congress. What better Sunday, then, can there be to celebrate our freedom to worship God and to live as we believe God's Word instructs us? Early in the Judeo-Christian heritage, learning God's way through the Word was a driving force towards one's connection with the one and only true God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. As God's people were freed from 400 years of Egyptian bondage and were formed into an independent nation while God provided for them in the Sinai Desert, God's guidance came in the form of the Ten Commandments and certainly all of the material of what became the writings of Leviticus and Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Learning God's ways early in their lives, Hebrew and later Jewish children, like our Lord Jesus, from the age of 5 through 12, were taught the fundamentals of their faith as they wrote and memorized the Torah, which is, of course, the first 5 books of the Bible. So well versed were Jewish children of Jesus' day that they could recite entire sections, if not in fact the entirety, of the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I marvel at the fact that they seem to have had that ability, don't you? I was the kind of guy that when it came to having to stand up and English class and recite a poem, I was absolutely terrified, mainly because I've never had that great ability to be able to just, you know, look something over and it's in my head and I can just recite it out. It's a labor of love for me to be able to remember anything. Just ask Carrie. Just ask my son. So, you know, what a phenomenal blessing that must have been. So knowledgeable of Scripture were the Jewish men of Jesus' day that they could open up a scroll of the Torah and find the exact passage they were asked to read during worship in the local synagogue, even without the aid of chapter and verse designations. In other words, they just open it up. Wherever they started reading, they knew exactly where they were in the text. So they know to scroll to the left or scroll to the right to find the text that was designated for the day. We can't even do that with chapter and verse designations because we just don't know the text well enough. Being well versed in the Torah and using to learn God's way was absolutely foundational to being a faithful follower of God. On this 4th of July Sunday, it may seem unusual for us to talk about those who were called the Separatists or the Pilgrims. After all, we usually wait to talk about them at Thanksgiving. Yet as we think of religious people learning the ways of God through the Word, surely this applies to the Pilgrims who relied upon the Geneva Bible as their guide. The Geneva Bible was first published in Geneva, Switzerland in 1560 by several Protestant reformers who escaped religious persecution in England. 6 years earlier, in 1553, Mary Tudor became the Queen of England, and in her quest to eliminate Protestant influences in England and restoring Catholicism as the official state religion, she not only banned the printing of English Bibles, but she also had over 300 Protestants burned at the stake, earning herself the nickname Bloody Mary. Several of the Protestant reformers and scholars who escaped to Switzerland were determined to create a new Bible that was independent of any approval of English royalty. The Geneva Bible, again, remember, Geneva, Switzerland, was the result of their scholarly efforts, and it was the first English translation in which the entire Old Testament was translated directly from Hebrew by biblical scholars. The Geneva Bible was one of the earliest mass-produced English Bibles commonly available to the public, and its Roman typeface was very easy to read. It was truly the first study Bible that offered detailed notes, cross-references, maps, and woodcut illustrations that helped individuals to understand the meaning behind the text. And the Geneva Bible was the first Bible, you'll like this part, it included chapter and verse numbers. It was printed in three different sizes, and the smallest version cost less than a week's wages for even the lowest paid worker, making it truly a people's Bible. As a people on a quest to define their beliefs and lifestyle by learning God's way through the Word, it made perfect sense for the pilgrims to embrace the Geneva Bible. And they brought many copies of it to the Americas as they established Plymouth Colony in what became, of course, Massachusetts. Decades later, and influenced by the pilgrims and other teachings of the Protestant Reformation, many of our nation's founders believed that the success of this republic depended upon a citizenry that was not only well-educated, but well-informed about sound moral principles as they were defined by the Bible. Thus, several of our founding fathers were very deliberate in their efforts to instill Christian values as they are reflected in the Bible. John Adams, you remember his name? He was the second president of the United States, signer of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. He was also a judge and a diplomat. He once said, "The general principles on which the founding fathers of our nation achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." He also said, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia! What a paradise that region would be." And of course, you remember Benjamin Franklin, signer of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, as well as a diplomat and governor of Pennsylvania. He once said, "As to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion, as he left them to us, the best the world ever saw or is likely to see." Many of our founding fathers also promoted the publication and the distribution of American Bibles. Under British rule, English language Bibles could not be printed here in the colonies. They had to be printed over in England, and there was, of course, a tax put upon them. And there was a little symbol that was kind of impressed upon the Bible itself to verify that you had paid that tax. And when the British began the blockade of the colonial ports, at the start of the American Revolution, Bibles became one of the commodities that were blocked and thus became scarce among the colonists. Thus, on the 7th of July in 1777, so a few days after the first anniversary of what? July the 4th, 1776, a request was placed before the Continental Congress to print or import Bibles because, as the record states, unless timely care be used to prevent it, we shall not have Bibles for our schools and families and for the public worship of God in our churches. People's Bibles were what? Wearing out. Why? They used them. The Continental Congress concurred with the assessment, and a special committee overseeing the project recommended, again, according to the record, the use of the Bible is so universal and its importance so great that Congress will order the Committee of Commerce to import 20,000 Bibles from Holland, Scotland, or elsewhere into different ports of the United States. The continued British blockade kept these Bibles from entering the colonies, and so it wasn't until the 10th of September in 1782 that the Continental Congress, by a congressional resolution, paid Robert Aitken to print and distribute 10,000 English language Bibles for citizens of our country. And as so many of these Bibles became worn out by use of citizens throughout the early frontier, less than 40 of them now remain today, making the Aitken Bible one of the rarest books in the world. It's even rarer than the Geneva Bible. And then later, Dr. Benjamin Ross, a signer of the Declaration of Independence and a physician, often called the founder of American medicine as he trained 3,000 physicians at the Pennsylvania Hospital, not only was responsible for promoting Sunday schools across the United States in about 1791, but in 1808, he began America's first Bible society, as he believed that if all Americans would own and study the Bible, the vast majority of social ills would diminish. His commitment to the Bible was so great that he worked diligently to see that Congress approved the production of what was called a stereotype plate that could produce an American Bible that was published not only quickly but cheaply. This stereotype Bible thus became America's first widely used Bible across all of the states. Thus, you see that these United States, whose independence we celebrate this 4th of July, was truly founded by devoted followers of God and Christ who firmly believed it was essential to learn God's ways through the guidance of God's Word so that citizens could be well-educated in sound moral principles and godly teachings. Surely, the pilgrims of Plymouth Colony and founders like John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and Benjamin Rush would affirm the Psalms that we've read for this morning. Again, the text tells us, Psalm 25, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, make them known to me. Teach me to live according to your truth, for you are my God who saves me. I trust in you." And from Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. I will keep my solemn promise to obey your just instructions." As you and I reflect upon the deliberate intentions of our early founders to learn God's ways through the Bible, while we also recognize that so many of our citizens today are biblically illiterate, and in so many instances, morally bankrupt, we need to turn a new leaf, do we not? We are challenged today to set aside much of our inconsequential gibberish of our electronic devices that consume so much of our conscious thought and attention. We are challenged today to deliberately read and study God's Word, as did our forefathers, especially as God's Word is so readily and freely accessible to us because of the sacrifices of people of faith of generations long before our time. And we are challenged today to truly learn and incorporate into the fiber of our being the biblically centered moral characteristics and godly principles that so clearly distinguished many of our early founders of this nation, who truly sought to create a godly and morally sound citizenry here in these United States. On this 245th anniversary of Independence Day, we should really be thankful that we can read the Bible without fear of reprisal, that we can learn God's ways. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is the day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation number 720, O Beautiful, for Spacious Skies. We'll sing all stanzas, please.
O beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of gray, above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed full grace on thee, and crown thy good with servanthood from sea to shiny sea. Success be nobleness, and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful, for patriot's dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty.
House this morning, and we wish you and your loved ones the very best as you journey through this Independence Day weekend. May we bow our heads Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to live lives that bring glory to your kingdom. And for this privilege, we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. Our fathers, God, to the author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long lay our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God. Almighty.